Joining us this morning with a legislative update, your 12th District State Senator, Brad Hawkins. Good morning, Senator.
Good morning, Jeff. Good to be with you.
Great to be with you. I have to say, two of the most dreaded words to most Washingtonians, income tax.
Oh, goodness. No kidding. Yeah, so we had a big debate in the State Senate just Saturday. We went almost all day Saturday and into the evening about the state's income tax on capital gains. And, of course, there was a lot of dispute of, is it an income tax or is it not? But the state Supreme Court has long held, I don't know if they're going to continue to do that, but that property is income and this would be an income tax. Of course, the IRS says that same thing too. But Washington State is one of the few states without a true income tax. And we do have a very regressive tax system with sales tax and other taxes. But it was a huge debate on the Senate floor. And ultimately, the income tax bill was approved by a vote of 25 to 24. So it was just a one vote passage. And in the past, the state Senate has really been the firewall towards a lot of new taxes. The state Senate was controlled by Republicans just a few years ago. Then we were essentially in a tie. And even if the Democrats had some of the control of the state Senate, there were always a few conservative Democrats that could block the income tax vote. But that's not the case. I mean, they made a real run at it, and they knew that if they could get it out of the state Senate, then they probably wouldn't have a problem in the House of Representatives. And then, of course, the governor has already signaled his support for it. And it'll be challenged in court, but the state Supreme Court, especially recently with some of their court cases, have shown a propensity to be very tax-friendly. So in my opinion, this is not a good situation for Washington State.
Earlier this morning, we had in one of our news report one of your counterparts, Senator Perry Dozier, saying, look, this is like the gateway. It's just going to grow and grow and eventually really nail the middle class. What are your thoughts?
That's exactly my thoughts, too. I mean, yes, we do have a very regressive tax system right now in our state, so I acknowledge that. Basically, what that means is that the lower income portion of the population pays a disproportionately greater portion of the tax than the middle or upper class, and that is an issue in our state. But if we were to want to reform the tax system, maybe if we were to include an income tax, then in my opinion, we would need to include a corresponding reduction in some of these regressive taxes. So lower the sales tax, lower the business and occupation tax, and then implement an income tax and then cap it or something like that. But basically what happened here is they kept all the existing tax system and layered on a capital gains income tax. And it has certain thresholds and exemptions, and it's been billed to be just for the ultra-rich. But what will happen, in my opinion, and what I believe the long game is to get this implemented during this window of time when they have the votes to pass it, and we have a tax-friendly state Supreme Court, which would be the adjudicator for something like this, because the provisions about uniformity of property and taxation are in the state constitution. So once the Supreme Court potentially upholds this, then over time, the exemptions will be whittled away, the thresholds will be reduced, and this could be a number of years. I mean, maybe to go with this tax for a while, but 2 years from now, 4 years from now, 6 years from now, they start chipping away at some of these exemptions, and then over time, maybe 10 or 15 years from now, we have a tax structure, that an income tax that affects everybody. And that's really the problem that I see with that. So I know what's happening. I see it all happening with the state Supreme Court and with the votes that they have in the House and the governor, this window of time. So I see it all happening, and it's not really a reform. And to me, it's a very disingenuous process that's been going on. But that's politics. I mean, if they have the votes, they have the votes. And in this case, they had one vote, and the one vote got it through the Senate 25 to 24.
Okay, so that now heads to the House. Obviously, we think it's going to pass through the House. How will that be challenged?
Well, it's interesting. There was, and this is another part of the original bill that was so frustrating. The bill had an emergency clause attached to it, and those are pretty rare. but that would allow the bill to take effect immediately, because normally bills go into effect 90 days after signature. Well, one of the amendments that we were pushing was to remove that emergency clause from the bill, and we were successful. There were enough votes, just enough to get that amendment added that removed that clause. So what that means is if that doesn't get added back in, then when the governor signs it, the bill won't actually go into effect for 90 days, and then the taxes are set to be collected, I think, in 2022 or 23 or a year later. But there is a process, if you remember from the comprehensive sex education bill, there is a check and balance in our state constitution that allows for a referendum, which is not a little different than an initiative, but it allows for any bill that is approved and any law that's signed in by the governor could be subject to a vote of the people if there are enough signatures. So what I believe could happen is that it'll pass the House, the governor will sign it enthusiastically, there'll be this 90-day period before it goes into effect, and that will give some of the concerned citizens enough time to collect signatures on a referendum to challenge it at the next election by a statewide vote. And then ultimately, if it's approved by the citizens in a statewide referendum, then it would still be challenged by the state Supreme Court. But like I said, I'm not really that optimistic about what the state Supreme Court will rule. So my hope is that the law never even gets to them.
Wow. Okay, today is a big day, March 9th, 2021. If you're a lawmaker in Olympia, we have a cutoff happening today. What does that mean to lawmakers?
Big deal. It's a big deal. It's the date for bills that originated in the House of Representatives to pass the House, and bills that originated in the Senate to pass the Senate. So essentially, if it's not tied to the budget, if your bill hasn't advanced through, it's not going to advance through the rest of the process. And once we get through this date, in the Senate, for example, we actually go back to our committees. And in our committees, we start to hear in our committees House-approved bills that are referred to those committees. And same in the House. So I've had three of my four bills approved so far this session. My fourth one, I hope, goes out today. But three of the four, some of those bills that I have passed the Senate, the hydrogen bill, the utility wildfire bill, the tow truck operator bill that I've sponsored, those are already scheduled for hearings in the House before their committees. So we're going to start shifting that process, going back to our committees, trying to advance our bills in the opposite chamber. For many of the senators and representatives, a lot of the bills that they sponsored died off already, so things start to slow down. And then we have three budgets to unveil, and the House and the Senate propose their operating, transportation, and capital budgets for consideration. And just like the bills, they need to pass their chambers, and then the budget negotiators in the House and the Senate get together and try to agree upon one final budget for transportation, one final budget for capital, and one final budget for operating that both chambers can approve in their identical form. And if they do that, then the governor can sign it, and those budgets become law. So a lot of the focus now is going to be on the budgets.
When you're part of the minority in this process, what's your frustration level like?
Well, I guess my only real frustration is about the ability to grow government at a rate that I know the majority of the people in my 12th district disagree with. And I mean, we can all have differences. Good people can disagree on a lot of things, but the philosophical differences at this point, given our makeup of the legislature, are really going to affect people's pocketbooks. And that's a concern of mine. So when we look back about the growth in state government, it has been concerning. Now, I'm not really an anti-tax person in the sense that I support our tax dollars being spent prudently. I support a wise investment of our tax dollars, because education, higher ed, natural resources, state parks, our road infrastructure, those are things that are important to everybody, but we need to be very thoughtful about how we invest people's dollars. And I just have seen a significant increase in spending, and then when that happens, we need more revenues to pay for it, so there's more of tax pressure. I've seen it coming and building for a number of years, and with the unified control that the majority now has in the House and the Senate and the governor's office, you know, it's really kind of unleashed a tidal wave of new revenues and new spending. And the challenge with that really, Jeff, is when we have a true recession, not a COVID-type recession that's backfilled by federal stimulus dollars, but when we have a true recession and revenues drop in our state and in our country, we're not going to be able to support all these services that we've built up. And so that's the concern. The roller coaster effect on the state budget is a concern of mine. And that's more of like a long-term kind of speaking philosophically about everything. Mm-hmm. But I think those thoughts are valid, and we need to be thoughtful about that as we're approving these budgets.
Before we run out of time, can you give us a snapshot of the week ahead?
Yeah, so today we could go pretty late with the a cutoff date. And then actually we have some committee hearings already on some critical House passed bills. And then for me, I have two hearings on the other bills that I've sponsored to get through the House. So I'm going to start, you know, working it in the other chamber and then trying to be thoughtful about the House approved bills that are coming before me in committee. And then we kind of try to grind it out for the next couple few weeks in committee. And then it's the final push back on the floor with the budgets, and the final push on the final bills. So a lot of things happen in the final few weeks of session, so I've learned to try to pace myself. Mm-hmm. And after this cutoff, it's kind of a good chance for me to recharge my batteries a little bit before those final few weeks. So it's going to be interesting. And we're still getting a lot of comments from constituents, so if people have any questions at all, feel free to reach out to me at SenatorBradHawkins.org off my website and email or call me, because I'm here to serve you.
Your statistics are looking pretty good. If you were playing baseball, I think you'd be making bank.
I know. I'm really pleased. I have four prime sponsored bills this year, and I think all four bills are viable. I have good bipartisan support. I think they're good ideas, and they're different things. I got a utility wildfire. I got clean energy. I got an education piece. I got one that supports our small business tow truck operators with a real common sense proposal. Yeah. So, but you know, I take nothing for granted, and I work really hard. And I've served as a legislator now for 9 years in the House and in the Senate now, total 9 years. And I've built up some good experience, and that is helpful. Experience does matter in this. And my job is to do the best job I can for the people of our district. And I'm thankful that I've learned some tricks of the trade over the years, and I'm trying to apply that to our district's benefit. And so I'm excited that it's gone so well, and I'm going to try to keep the momentum going.
Well, we appreciate your service and your time this morning.
Yeah, well, thanks for letting me make a community connection with you, Jeff.
Absolutely.
I appreciate it.
We'll look forward to next week. Thanks so much, Senator.
All right. Have a good day.
You too now.